So you guys have been here for a while already, and so I'm going to try to tell you some new things, and when I'm done, Lila Gonzalez is here, and she's from AGI, and she's going to give you a little bit more insight into careers and numbers of people going into careers and how your career can change the world, I think is how she put it. So I think between the two of us, you'll get some interesting information today. I'm mainly here to talk to you about moving forward after college and into your careers, and I'm going to talk about the importance of certification and or licensure, depending on what state you're in. I'm basically a soil scientist, but I'm going to talk to you about soils and agronomy certifications today because I know that you're a mixed group. And so the American Society of Agronomy does two certifications. It's the CCA and the CPAG, and the Soil Science Society of America does two certifications, which is the CPSS and the CPSC, and I'll explain a little bit more about what those are and what goes into them as we go through the presentation here. Just a little bit about the American Society of Agronomy. They're 100-plus years old as far as the society goes. Again, they have two certifications that they offer. You do not have to be a member of ASA to be certified. The same thing goes for Soil Science Society of America. You don't need to be a member. Now, obviously, since I work for the societies, I would love for you to be members. And I'm thinking most of you probably are, hopefully, on the student rate that you get a great deal on. But ASA's two certifications are the Certified Crop Advisor, or CCA. That by far has the largest contingent of our certified professionals across all the societies. I think there's something like 13,000. There also is a Certified Professional Agronomist, CPAG, which is a little bit different, and I'll be talking about that, but they don't have quite as many certified professionals in that group. Soil Science Society of America, if you haven't figured out by now from being here for a few days, it is our 75th anniversary this year, and so you're probably seeing a lot of that hype. I do have stickers for everybody that say, I heart soil, I love soil. So I'll be kind of leaving those, I think, probably on the front chair here because I'm going to have to leave when I'm done talking because I have another paper. But take the I heart soils sticker with you, place it prominently somewhere, and remember it's our 75th anniversary and soil science is great. We have two certifications in soils. Certified Professional Soil Scientist, or CPSS, and we also have a Certified Professional Soil Classifier. As I will tell you as we go through here, we are discontinuing the CPSC as of January 1st, 2012, and I'll kind of explain that a little bit more. So I want to talk about the difference between certification and licensure, and I know because we have River Falls here and we've got K-State. Who else is in the audience? Florida? Okay, so Florida is a different, so I've got a good variety of different programs that we have across the U.S. Wisconsin is a licensing state, so you're kind of under different rules. Kansas would be more of a certification state, and Florida actually has its own in-state certification program. So lots of different things, but I want to explain the difference so that you know, because most people, when they get into their careers, are mobile. You don't tend to stay in the same state all the time. And so you kind of need to understand, as you cross state lines, what are the requirements for you to be able to do work? And those are different depending on agronomy versus soils, because agronomy is all certification. Soils is where you get into licensure. Certification is a voluntary type of credential, and what we do with that is it's held to professional standards and it defines the profession. So a certification is important because it defines who you are as a professional, and it tells an employer or somebody else, an agency person, that you have some level of competence because you've taken exams and you're doing continuing education and the things that go into certification. And that's across both agronomy and soils. Certification is also important because it shows up in some state statute and rule as well as county ordinances and things like that where they're requiring certified professionals to do certain types of work. And so you wouldn't be allowed to do the work unless you had a certification behind your name. Licensing is a little bit different. Licensing is a law. It's written into state statute and rule. You cannot practice soil science. There is no license in agronomy, but you cannot practice soil science in a licensing state without a license. And if you do, you face penalties of law like fines, and most statutes for licensing states do mention jail time. I have yet to see somebody get jail time for practicing without a license, but I have seen the fines leveled at them. So licensing is mandatory. If you're in a licensing state, you must have a license. The government requires it. It's stronger than a certification because it defines and it protects the practice of soil science. And with that, you get, when you have a license, you have a title and you have responsibilities that go along with that. So you're held to a standard by the state at that point, too. A registry, you'll hear this once in a while, that a state has a registry. It's not too far off of certification. It's also something where you have to meet a certain standard of practice, and it can be either voluntary or mandatory depending on what state you're in and how they've written their legislation. So just so you know, when you get into licensing states, we have Minnesota, North Carolina, Texas, Wisconsin, Maine, North Dakota, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia that are licensing states. To work in those states, you're going to need a license. States that are working on legislation of one sort or another that would require something, sometimes it's certification, sometimes it's a license, would be the state of Washington. Oregon just passed some legislation and has written rules that require certification. Pennsylvania is going to be looking for licensing next year. And Georgia has gone all the way through their legislature, gotten a bill on the governor's desk for licensing, and had it vetoed twice. They're going to probably be going back and looking again since the governor has changed at this point. And then I'm going to talk about certification states a little bit. The national program through SSSA does nationwide certification. We also allow states to take on in-state certification, so they have their own in-state board, which sort of helps them gain recognition because they're working with state government officials and things like that, and they're reviewing applications in state for the application for certification. Right now, we have Florida and Ohio that do that. We also have exams, and I'll talk about the exam requirement for both agronomy and soils, but exams are given at universities if the universities request it. K-State is one, Wyoming, Wisconsin, Stevens Point, Tennessee, Arkansas, North Carolina. Those are all universities that offer the exams for their students. Otherwise, you just would have to sign up through SSSA or ASA and go take the exams at whatever given time and given place they tell you that they're presenting those. So again, certification is something that I go around and I talk to a lot of people about because it's something that is important, I think, for you. You may not realize it at the time, but you want to show that you can be the best that you can be. You want to show your potential employers that. So if you're coming in with a job application or a resume, and you have passed the fundamentals exam or you've passed the CCA exam, it's nice to be able to put initials behind your name because all of a sudden that stands out to somebody that's trying to get through a bunch of resumes. When I worked out in the consulting world and I put out a job ad for an entry-level position, it was not unusual to get 300 resumes sitting on my desk. In consulting, time is money. I don't have time to read through 300 resumes, so I'm looking for key points. I'm looking for those resumes that, well, first of all, everything is spelled correctly, because if it's not spelled correctly, it's going directly into the garbage can. So careful on your spell checks. The second thing I'm looking for is that I'm trying to find somebody that is invested in their career path. If I see initials behind your name, meaning you've taken some sort of preliminary exam going down the path of certification or licensure, it tells me that you're invested in your career and you're looking forward and that you've taken the time to do these things. for an employer, that means a lot. And so make sure that when you're putting your credentials together, you're doing everything that you can to make yourself stand out from the crowd and look better. Back to certification. What we're looking for, again, is to find and be able to tell people through a certification or a licensure program that these people that carry these initials behind their name are competent to do the work of a soil scientist or an agronomist. And that, believe it or not, really does sell to the agencies, to your clients, and things like that. They want to know that they have somebody competent out there. And if you're not, they have somebody, or if you're not ethical, they have somebody to go back to, because TRSSA will take on ethics violations, as will ASA. So that gives some peace of mind in this day and age of people hiring professionals, that there's an assurance that they know what they're doing and they're going to be ethical. So the standards are you need to pass exams, and I'll talk about that for both ASA and TRSSA shortly here. You have to have a certain amount of education for certain certifications. You need to gain experience in order to get the full certification. So a lot of times there's two levels. There's the in-training level. If you're familiar with PEs, they have their EIT engineering training, and then you get a PE when you've got 5 years experience. The same thing happens with the soil science certification and to some extent some of the agronomy certifications. There is a requirement for continuing education. Your education doesn't stop the minute that you walk out the door with a bachelor's degree, or 2 years later when you walk out the door with a master's degree, or when you walk out the door with a PhD. You are going to be learning your entire career, and so we promote that and we require it through continuing education. And so there's a requirement that you continue your education as set up in the structure that either ASA or TRSSA has, so that you are keeping up with the science and you are keeping up with the technology, and so that you're keeping that level of competency that your certification says you have. And ethics. You might think ethics is one of those things, and I see a lot of professionals that are like, yeah, ethics, how hard can it be, black and white? And it's not. It's a lot of gray areas, and people get in trouble really fast with a lot of the gray areas. And so when you become certified, you're going to sign an ethics form, and you're going to be required to take at least one credit of ethics as part of your CEUs every renewal period. And be aware that both ASA and TRSSA take their ethics violations very, very seriously, because it reflects back on the profession, and we don't want the profession looking bad. So why certification? Well, because there's a lot of reasons that sort of support this whole idea. Technology innovation, increases in knowledge, and keeping you current with the state of the knowledge. I say here there's a short shelf life on academic degrees, and that's kind of what I was getting at before. You're going to come out of school with a degree, which is wonderful. It's much needed. You have a base of knowledge. But really, as you go through your career, and if you're getting certified, it's the experience that's going to really bolster that basic education, and it's the experience that's really going to help you in your career, not just the fact that you have a bachelor's degree in something. The public really, really demands that when they're hiring somebody, they want to make sure that this person's going to do things that are safe, that they're going to do things that are worth the money that is getting paid to that person or to the company. And so they want standards out there. They want to be able to know that they're getting the value that they're paying for. I just heard a horror story on somebody doing soil amendments, and they didn't understand soil chemistry, and they were trying to acidify the soil because it was too calcareous for the crop they were trying to grow, and they didn't do the calculations right. And they acidified the soil so badly that nothing would grow there. And so it's those types of things that we're trying to guard against and make sure that the competent people are out there and that the public can trust us. And so you don't want people saying, oh, yeah, the last soil scientist or the last agronomist I hired, man, they were bad and they were certified and I'm not going to ever go there again. that isn't the reputation that we want or need. A desire to avoid regulations may sound a little strange, but what happens is that with certification programs in place, it's sort of felt by the regulatory agencies that they don't need to be quite as strict in passing a lot of regulations because the certification program will make sure that there's competent people out there that know what they're doing, that can pay attention to the rules, pay attention to the environment, and the effects of the things that they're doing to the environment. And so it lessens the need for very, very strict regulations. And I've seen that more on the agronomy side than I have on the soil side, but there's this confidence building that goes on with the agencies also. To you, there's more job opportunities. A lot of employers are learning to look for somebody that's certified so that they have some level of competence as they're walking in the door, and it means for an employer less training, perhaps, less of having to spend time bringing you up to speed and things like that. A lot of times, the fact that you would have a certification can mean that when you're looking at promotions, you might be considered first. Because of certifications, sometimes I've seen higher pay scales. You get networked with your peers, and I cannot emphasize enough how important networking is. Start now. Remember the people that you meet, because it's always easier to call somebody and say, hey, I met you in San Antonio at the 2011 meetings. You probably don't remember me, but, and you've got an in at that point. So do your networking as little or as much as you can, but do some because it will serve you well throughout your entire career. You never know when you're going to need to pick up the phone and call somebody that you've met 5 years ago and ask a question or ask for some advice. Certifications are also recognized by a lot of the agencies, USDA, EPA, Fish and Wildlife Service, I mean, you can name a whole bunch, State Department of Natural Resources. A lot of them have come into contact with people that are certified and understand what that means and actually prefer to work with people that are certified, again, because there is some proven level of competence that comes along with that certification. Again, the continuing education program is important because it keeps you current with the science. You do have recognition with other professions. I was just talking yesterday in a meeting about the need for stamping your work. And I don't know enough about agronomists to know if they do this or not, but soil scientists a lot of times will do work with an engineer. Engineers always stamp their plans, or they always seal their work. And soil scientists are often asked to seal their work because that means the engineer doesn't have to take the liability for what the soil scientist does. So there's a recognition there between the professions when you are certified or licensed that you hold a level of, again, competence, and people are going to count on that as you're doing work together. It's a hiring tool for employers and clients, and I mean for both. As an employer, I used to look for it. Clients, a lot of times, you know, if they're trying to choose between a couple of different consultants, they might say, well, this one must be better because they're certified and they're not. And that's a logical conclusion to come to. Increased confidence. I think when you go through and you pass the exams, whether the agronomy exams or the soils exams, you do have a level of confidence. It sort of tells you that, yeah, I did learn something in school, and yeah, I do know what I'm doing, and wow, I'm a professional now. And so there's a level of confidence that comes from that. And what I see in people that go through the process is that because you're invested in your career and because you've taken the time to go through the certification process, you tend to have a better work ethic. It's just something I've seen over my career that people that are interested in what they're doing in their careers tend to come in and they want to do the work and they want to learn and they want to keep on going. Clients and customers will appreciate it. Sometimes they don't know that you're certified, so it's not a bad idea to, if you're out there and you get hired into a consulting firm or are working in the agronomy field with a fertilizer company or whatever, let people know that you're certified. Spread the word about what that means. Don't be afraid to tell your clients about that. So let's talk about agronomy first. The CCA and CPAG both require exams. Both require the ICCA exam. And the CCA's, now I'm going to preface this and you're going to see a slide here. This program is changing around a little bit, and I'll try to explain that. But CCA and CPAG are still going to be the two certifications that agronomy has. How they work together is going to be a little different. Both will still require exams. Both will still require the ICCA exam. How the local boards are put together, it may be changing here shortly. They're still kind of working through some of the things, but there's usually a local board exam with the CCAs also. There's a difference between the CCA and the CPAG. The CCA, depending on where you are in your education, is what you need to do for the CCA. If you have a BS degree, you need 2 years experience. If you have an associate degree, you need 3 years experience. And if you have just no degree but just a high school diploma, you need 4 years of experience to be qualified as a CCA. CPAG is a little bit different. You have to have a bachelor's degree. And so you will need 5 years of experience with a bachelor's degree, 3 years with a master's degree, and 1 year with a PhD. Now, where this is changing is that the CPAG program is coming into the CCA program. Neither one of those certifications is going to be lost, but in order to be a CPAG, you're also going to be a CCA by default because you're going to take that first same exam. The difference is going to be in where your education is and what you want to designate as your certification. The CCA takes 40 hours of continuing education every 2 years. The CPAG will be changing to 50 every 2 years. And that's just a matter of the change in the type of certification. And everybody needs to sign a code of ethics. As I said before, that's very, very important to the society. So the changes that are taking place as of January 1st, 2012, again, the CPAG program or certification will move into the ICCA structure, and we're not taking anything away from either certification. They're just combining these to make it easier from a an administrative function. So CPAG will actually become more of a specialty certification, and it has been in the past, but it's now going to be talked about more that way. So you have to be able to meet the CCA requirements before or simultaneously. I'm going to assume most of you are going to have bachelor's degrees, so you will have met the CCA requirement for that and the requirement for CPAG. Current people that have CPAGs are going to be grandfathered in, and there are going to be some changes to fees. There's always changes to fees, but those are under review right now, and I can't tell you what those are. That is something that the CCA boards are talking about. I told you the CCA program is very large. It's about 13,000. This is the United States and Canada. The CCA program also exists in India, and it's going into Venezuela, Mexico, and Argentina soon also. So that is expanding. But as you can see in the different colors here are just the different CCA boards, the state boards or the regional boards that you would be dealing with depending on what part of the country you're in. For more information, you can find that on our website at certifiedcropadvisor.org. From that particular page, you can go lots of different directions and find out what are the performance objectives, what are the exam dates, all that stuff that you would want to know at some point. So let's talk a little bit about soil science. Here we have the CPSS and the CPSC. Here in education, you have to have a bachelor's degree, and it has to be in soil science or a closely related field. We are changing the way that the education requirements look for the soil science certification. The board just went over that yesterday at their annual meeting, and as of January 1st, 2012, you'll see some of those changes come in. What remains the same is the need for 15 semester hours of soil science in order to be qualified to even apply for a CPSS. You have to pass two exams for the soil science end of things, the fundamentals exam, which you can take as a junior or senior in college, and then you have to have 5 years of experience post-bachelor degree or 3 years post-master's or PhD to take the professional practice exam. So again, fundamentals exam can be taken while still in college. As I said before, some universities do offer that. Otherwise, you can take a look at, we offer that exam twice a year, and they're usually given at universities because our proctors tend to be faculty. And so you can look at where that might be somewhere close to you. The fundamentals exam splits soil science into six sections, which is exactly how the performance objectives are split out. So it's on soil chemistry, soil fertility, nutrient management, soil physics, soil genesis, morphology, classification, soil biology and soil ecology, and soil and land use management. So those are the six sections that you will see. There's 150 multiple choice questions on the fundamentals exam. The professional practice exam is an exam that you can take after your experience requirements been met, and this would be the exam that you would take for full certification. With your fundamentals exam, if you pass it after you get your bachelor's degree, you can put APSS behind your name to signify that you have passed the fundamentals exam and you're working towards your professional one. Again, your experience is 5 years with a bachelor's, 3 years with a master's, PhD. We also, in soils, require 40 hours of continuing education every renewal period, which is every 2 years, and everybody signs a code of ethics. And again, one credit of that 40 hours in CEUs has to be an ethics credit so that you're keeping up with, or not so much keeping up with, but keeping ethical situations in your mind and how to work through them. Because like I say, most ethics situations that you come across in your career aren't black and white. They're a very gray area, and you really need to understand from a professional practice standpoint what is ethical and what starts getting onto the unethical side. Again, what's happening as far as changes in the soils program, we are discontinuing the CPSC program. We are not taking that designation away from anybody. If they have it, they can keep it. We're just not, as of January 1st, 2012, taking new applications. So if somebody happens to have passed the fundamentals exam and is on their way with an APSC, we're not going to tell them they have to stop. They can go through the whole procedure. But as of January 1st, there's no new applications for soil classifier. Everybody's going to be under CPSS. The reason we did that was for a lot of legislative reasons, because when we go out and talk to legislators, trying to explain the difference between a CPSS and a CPSC when essentially we all do soil science gets to be difficult. And we're all soil scientists, so the board has decided to combine those two certifications so that we can all talk about ourselves as soil scientists and not try to make distinctions between what people do. As I said, the education requirements have changed slightly. I think they're easier to deal with now. They're going to be in groups, so there's going to be a soil science core that you have to look at, and then there's going to be supporting classes to that. The way that it's written in the application now, if you've ever looked at it, it can be confusing. We've pretty much gone to really laying out what is acceptable for classes. We are looking in soils to move towards licensing exclusively. This is not going to happen in my lifetime, but we're moving in that direction. We've got a lot of licensing states, but we want the certification states to start looking at licensing, mainly because it protects the profession a whole lot better than certification does. So I do go around and I talk about licensing quite a bit, and that is a long-term goal of SSSA, is to get everybody licensed. Again, the CPSCs will be able to keep their designation. We just won't be certifying anybody new as of January 1st. For more information on the CPSS program or the soils program, it's soils.org certifications. From there, you can find the performance objectives, the exam dates, all the information that you would need to move forward with a certification in soils. So again, I just want to kind of go through what the benefits are for certification and licensing. Certification and licensing protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And no matter if you're working in agronomy or you're working in soils, there are things that you can do or not do when you're working out in the field that will definitely protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. You have to remember you're working on people's land, you're working on people's natural resources, you're affecting people's water supplies, you're affecting people's livelihood. And so when you go out there and you start your career and you start working in the field, it does well to keep that in the back of your mind, because for you, it's a job, and at first, you know, you may not take it as seriously as maybe you should, but I will guarantee you that the person's land that you're working on takes it very seriously, and they're going to be looking for you to do the best job that you can out there. So remember, the certification, really, when you look at the legislative aura surrounding that, it is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. Employers very much provides a way for employers to distinguish between applicants. As I said, I used to do that when I was in the private sector. I think it also, for employers, provides for the fact that you have to do continuing education. Employers don't always like to pay for that, but they like to know that their employees are up to date on what's going on in the world. And so it helps them when they know that you've gone to a continuing education class, because all consulting firms have to carry insurance for liability. So hopefully your continued education lowers that risk of using that liability insurance, because that gets very expensive very fast. And it helps ensure that there's quality employees working for the employer. For you as an individual, it's a sense of professionalism. Like I said, I think it's also a way to network with other professionals around you, whether they be in agronomy, soils, geology, engineering. You tend to be on a certain peer level when you can say, oh yeah, I'm licensed or I'm certified, and you're talking to an engineer or a geologist that's licensed. Okay, there's a respect that goes on there. You have credentials. Your credentials are portable. Nobody can take those credentials away from you. And so they go with you wherever you go. They're with you for your entire life, as long as you keep on doing your continuing education and paying for your certification or license. Like I said, I think a lot of times, because you would be looked upon as competent and you've taken an interest in your career, I think your employers will look at you more. And, you know, I'm not going to guarantee you that you're going to have a promotional advantage and you're going to have higher pay than other people all the time, but if you combine your certification or license with hard work and proving yourself, then yeah, those things will happen. So some things to think about before I end here. Think about investing in your career. It really is important for people, when they're looking at your resume, to see that you've made that investment, to see that you care, that you're trying to better yourself, that you're trying to show people that you are competent to practice whatever profession you're in. That's important. It's also, as I laid out to you, important to the public, and it's important to you as an individual too. In this day and age, there is a lot of competition for jobs. You see it more in some parts of the country than others, but if I were you coming out of school in the next few years or this year or whenever you're going to be graduating, I would be doing everything I can to make myself stand out and to make myself very favorable to whatever employer is looking at my resume. you need to remember the impression that your resume is going to leave with somebody that looks at it. Remember that I said I used to get 300 resumes across my desk for any particular job opening. Well, I'm looking for an entry-level position, and this is going to go for today too, because jobs are tight. Entry-level positions are going to invite resumes coming in from not only bachelor degree students, but masters and PhDs that are looking for jobs. If you have a bachelor's degree and you're trying to beat out somebody with PhD for an entry-level position, you need to make yourself really look good to that employer. Now, I will tell you, a lot of employers on an entry-level position are going to look at a PhD and say, you're overqualified, I don't think I want you because you're going to get bored. But, you know, you need to take every advantage that you can as you put that resume together. So make yourself look good. Like I said, the biggest mistake that you can make on a resume is to send it in with a spelling mistake. Don't do that. It will end up in the garbage. So, I talk about this all the time, and people are like, yeah, whatever. Have somebody else read your resume. Have somebody else proof it, because you get too close to it, you're not going to see the mistakes. So make sure that you've got somebody else looking at that thing for any little mistake that they can find, because I will guarantee you that the employer looking at that and looking at 300 other ones is going to find that real quick and decide that if you couldn't take the time to make sure that your resume was perfect, they don't have the time to interview you. And that sounds harsh, but that's how it works out there. Make sure, and I can't emphasize this enough, network. Talk to people. Get their business cards. Make sure that you're keeping in touch with people. Networking, especially if you're going into private industry, is really, really important. And it's not just private industry. If you're going into government or anywhere else, it's very important too. So I would make as many contacts as I could here. I would make sure that you, if you think you're not going to remember what that person did and you have their business card, write down what their area of expertise is so that you remember that in the future when you need some help on something. But like I said, I can't emphasize enough how important networking is. And people across the country, don't worry about that, you know, if you're from Kansas, oh, I only want to know people from Kansas. No, it's not that type of world anymore. You need to know people from all over the U.S. and beyond. You don't know where your future is going to take you at this point. You may have a plan, and you may think you know where you're going, but I will tell you about 95% of you will deviate from that plan at some place down the road. And that's not a bad thing. But set yourself up to be successful no matter what path you end up taking. And that means thinking ahead a little bit, keeping your professional credentials current, and making sure that you're sort of taking care of your own self so that no matter what happens to you in your career, what path you end up taking, you've got things there to back you up. I'm going to turn it over to Lila Gonzalez from AGI.